Thank you, New York. Today, we're reminded of the power of community and the power of coming together. Athletes, on your mark.
The first woman to finish for the second straight year here in the New York City Marathon is Mickey Gorman, a smiling Mickey Gorman, and why not?
2:29:30, the time for Good Advice.
Look at the emotion of Shalane Flanagan as she comes to the line,
pointing to his chest, pointing to the USA. He so proudly wears across his chest. A great day for Mev Kopleski.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Set the Pace, presented by Peloton. We are the official podcast of New York Roadrunners. I'm your host and CEO of New York Roadrunners, Rob Similcare, back with the amazing Bex Gentry, back for another week as my co-host. And Bex, great to see you, and happy belated Mother's Day. It was your second year as mom of Tallulah. What was Mother's Day like for you and the fam?
Mother's Day was wonderful, and thank you so much. I started the day with a wonderful run at Peloton. I actually did a Mother's Day run with lovely members in the room, which was very touching, emotional, and euphoric at the same time. And then we chilled. It was pretty miserable weather. So it was a good excuse to stay home, snuggle up, do some painting, and quality time.
Yeah, here in New York, it was not the best Mother's Day weather. The afternoon got okay, but yes, bit chilly. Hope folks out there had a great Mother's Day. If they got some runs in, maybe with some mother-daughter runs or whatever it was, that was a great, great weekend and always a great day to celebrate. And we've got ourselves a big, big weekend coming up here, Bex. But I actually had a little personal news, at least from the running point of view myself. I can't run Brooklyn this weekend because, you know, it's hard for me as CEO to run our biggest races. But I did sign up for a half marathon. I'm going to run the Fairfield Half Marathon up here in Fairfield, Connecticut on Sunday, June the 2nd, which I'm excited about. I tried, Bex, to run this race last year. Mm-hmm. And this was right around the time I started to get knee injuries last year. I had kind of a big ramp up of my running in the first 6 months in this job, and my knees just went south and I wasn't able to make it, but I deferred. I'm feeling great and I'm going to give it a go on June 2nd. So that should be fun. It's a hilly but nice course, runs along the Long Island Sound for parts of it. You get some water views, and I'm excited to give it a go at the Athletic Brewing Company Fairfield Half on June 2nd.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. We've been talking about Rob stepping his game up here. And, you know, you've been getting PR after PR on your four miler. So this is your endurance time to shine.
Yeah, it's time to stretch out the legs a little, see if I can get to some bigger distances. I ran last Friday morning in the park, put out about 9 or 10 miles, and it felt good. So it was right after that I said, okay, this is it. I'm feeling good enough to sign up and commit and talk about it. This is when you talk about it. When you talk about it is when you're actually doing it, right, Bex?
Correct.
So I am now talking about running a half, and I'm looking forward to that on June 2nd. But
that is it, the commitment.
Absolutely. And by the way, I should mention, you know, one of the things that has really gotten me ready to run a half this spring is NYRR group training, which I have been a lover of since I started here at New York Roadrunners. It's an incredible program where our New York Roadrunners coaches meet up with you. You can sign up for Tuesdays, Thursdays, or Wednesdays in the morning or the evenings. And they just have a great program where you run with a group. They divide you based on your speed, groups 1 through 6. And every single day, there's a different plan. You know, some days are focused on speed work. Some days are focused on endurance, pacing, tempo runs. And it has made me such a better runner, Bex. So yeah, it's actually open right now for folks who
Brilliant.
Are interested in signing up for the next session, which is the session after the Brooklyn Half. You can go to nyrr.org. We're going to put the link in the show notes. And you can do it all around the city. We've got Central Park. We've got Uptown Manhattan. We've got the East River Park track downtown. We've got Astoria Park and Prospect Park out in Brooklyn. So I'm a huge fan of it. And if you've never tried it, if you want to get better and you're in the New York area, you can give it a try. We also have it up in Connecticut as well with the YMCA in Westport, Connecticut.
Oh my gosh. No excuses.
Group training, Bex. It's a beautiful thing.
everywhere. I love it. I love running with a community. But you pointed it out, Rob, this weekend. This weekend, people have been training with the group training ahead of the RBC Brooklyn Half. And I don't know how many other people, because I think it's zillions, are as excited as I am for the fact that we have all three members of the 2024 US Olympic Women's Marathon team running in the MasterCard Mini 10K, which is the next race after the RBC Brooklyn Half. So I just feel like we have moment after moment coming through. And I say that because the team training between all of our women right now in the US team, I say are. I know I'm British, but I feel like I can say are on the US Olympic team here, has been amazing. Their community is, I can feel them. I feel like they'd be going to the group training side of things together, even if they're sponsored by different people. The love is so real. And I'm really excited to see them shine at the Mini 10K.
This was a huge deal for us and an incredibly exciting announcement last week to announce that all three women on the U.S. Marathon Olympic team will be running in the MasterCard Mini 10K. Fiona O'Keefe, Emily Sisson, and Dakota Lindworm will all be at the starting line of the MasterCard Mini. That's on June 8th. So yeah, that's going to be a huge deal. Congrats to them. We're so excited to host them. Our pro athletes team did such a great job recruiting that amazing field. One of my favorite races of the year.
Me too.
Can't wait for it. But before we get to it, we got a lot of work and a lot of fun coming up in Brooklyn this coming weekend. The RBC Brooklyn Half. Everybody out there, if you're listening to this on the Thursday, the Friday before the race, and these are your final preparations, we wish you all the best. If you haven't yet, go back and listen to last week's episode with Ted Metellus. Ted giving you the 411 on all the things you need to know, from baggage to when to show up to what you can expect at the finish line, a course review or preview as well. So check that out. And obviously, we want to make sure you enjoy the RBC Brooklyn Half pre-party presented by New Balance. That's at the Brooklyn Bridge Park, Pier 2. Get there nice and early. Give yourself time to soak that in. Enjoy that. It's such a great event. Hopefully we get good weather for it, but pick your time and then make sure it's not, don't go in rushed, grab your bib, turn around and leave. No, spend a few hours, make it an event for yourself to hang out, because it's not just a pickup. It's a party, Bex. And I look forward to seeing everybody out there.
I can't wait. It is one of my favorite weekends of the year. I've run this race. I love this race. I love how it starts. It's a really early start, which is one thing to note if you are finding out about it for the first time. It's a really early start. We're looking at 7 a.m. first wave, 8 a.m., I believe, second wave. And we are also having to mention, it's on Saturday, everyone. It's on Saturday. It's unusual. It is.
Don't be the one that shows up Sunday. We don't want people showing up Sunday. Absolutely.
Mm-mm. I mean, you'll always have people to run with in Prospect Park and that area, but it won't be New York Roadrunners. So definitely make sure you show up nice and early on Saturday morning. And as Rob said, the pre-party presented by New Balance is phenomenal. It is so much fun. I'm a Brooklynite. I love that it's over this side. I love that we get to show off our vibe a little bit over here. When you pick up your bib, you are going to get no preview of the course, which I quite like. It's just the area. So Prospect Park, you're going to run Grand Army Plaza. If you've never run around that, it is really, really stunning to look up. Make sure you look up to the top of that monument. I know as runners, we keep our eyes down a lot of the time. So get your eyes up to the sky and see the magnificence of the monument there. But then running out to Coney Island, I mean, it's a beach. Even if it's raining, you see the ocean and there's something very calming and relaxing, I think, about an ocean, especially on a rainy day. So get yourselves counting down in the alphabet to Coney Island. That's my cryptic clue.
That's exactly what it is. You go down Ocean Parkway, see those letters going down, and you know you're getting closer to the finish line. So for everybody getting ready, we wish you all the best. We'll talk about it a bit more later in the podcast, but should be a great day. We hope for good weather, of course, and a great day for everybody showing up at the RBC Brooklyn half. We've got a great show for you on Set the Pace today. Our guests today are two of the hosts of the hugely popular The Drop podcast, Thomas Neuberger and Megan Murray. They've managed to turn their love of running into their careers. I love it, Bex, when people are able to do that. I've been able to do that. You've been able to do that. Their website, Believe in the Run, is the top running review site online. They review shoes and apparel and all kinds of things that are so important to runners. And they've also, along the way, built a great community of runners who tune in digitally every week to their podcast. They'll both be running the RBC Brooklyn half for the second year in a row. So we can't wait to talk to them about how they are feeling about the race. They'll be up in a minute. Later on in the show, our man, Meb Kofleski, will be here to interview New York Roadrunners member, Michael Albeck. As Michael prepares for this weekend's RBC Brooklyn half, he's going to share with us how New York Roadrunners has become an integral part of his whole family's life. And for our weekly Meb Minute, Meb's going to give us his best advice on training to run a new course for those of you who are running Brooklyn for the first time. So all that coming up on Set the Pace. Bex, before we get to our guest, it is so beautiful outside today, and spring is my favorite time of year to start a new workout routine.
Totally agree, Rob. With the weather warming up, it just feels like so much easier to get into the rhythm of things.
One of the things that works so well for me, Bex, about Peloton is whether I've got 20 minutes to kill or a full hour for a Pilates class or maybe an outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything I need to help get me going.
It certainly does. It is such a great way to get a head start on summer with Peloton. You can find it at onepeloton.com.
And now let's welcome in our guests, Thomas Neuberger and Megan Murray from Believe in the Run and the two hosts of the Drop podcast. If you're not familiar with the Drop, it's a pretty popular podcast that focuses on in-depth discussion and interviews relating to running shoes and gear and training. Thomas and Megan, as well as the rest of the team, are big runners. And they say running has changed their lives. It is great to have them on the show. Thomas, Megan, welcome.
This is a trip.
Yeah, thanks for having
never
us.
Never thought I'd be on with New York Roadrunners and Bex. Obviously, this is a real honor to be on the show.
We're thrilled to have you guys. So, all right, first question for those who don't know, what is Believe in the Run? What is that all about?
Take it away.
It's always a weird question because I think we straddle a couple different areas. So traditional media, we have our website where we are, I would say, more on the traditional side of doing reviews and long read articles and that kind of stuff. And then we started doing YouTube videos to kind of drive traffic to the website. And that kind of coincided with the trend of people becoming sort of like influencers in the running space. And so we never intended to be one, but because our faces were out there and people could kind of see what we were doing, that's where we started blending, I'd say, the new media with the old media. And it kind of just worked well together that we have both going for us and kind of cover a lot of area. I didn't even answer the question, did I?
We're primarily a running shoe site that dabbles in the social world, and we have a podcast as well.
Yeah.
A little more succinct.
I love that. I love the balance here between the two of you. It's fantastic. Great pairing. Okay, so let's talk about what has changed, because I think just from hearing that, the both of you have two slightly different descriptions of Believe in the Run. So how it started to where it is today, could you talk us through where it's come from and where it is?
Yeah, it started when I was raising money for a charity, and I was going to run the Trans Rockies Run, which is a multi-day, over 100 miles race across the Rocky Mountains. And so it was one of the bigger things I was doing towards the beginning of my running. So I thought it would be a great way to raise awareness for the Baltimore Child Abuse Center. And so I raised funds for that. And so I started a website to kind of chronicle my training, because back then there wasn't much in the way of, now there's so many different platforms for you to talk about your running. Back then there wasn't. So I created a website. And as I was doing the training for Trans Rockies, people were curious what gear I was using and what shoes I liked or what poles I was going to use on the mountain or jackets. And this. So I started talking about that, and the brand started noticing, and they're like, hey, if we send you, would you talk about our brand? And I'm like, are you kidding? This is great. I still remember my first thing I ever got was a stick of Glide. And I thought I just won the lottery. I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Hey, don't knock free Glide.
Yeah. But then it sort of started to evolve. Megan and I met at a company that did software for social media. And we were doing a lot of campaign stuff together. And she was kind of like a casual runner. You want to talk about that a little bit, Meg?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing sports my whole life, but I always hated running. And then when I went to college, I kind of gave up all of sports. So I was like, well, I should do something active. So I just started running a little bit. And then when Thomas and I met at the marketing company, he was out doing like 50 milers. And I was like, this guy is nuts. But convinced me to sign up for a race. And then I signed up for a marathon and it just snowballed from there. But we ended up focusing a lot more on Believe in the Run at that time because it was getting a lot more attention and brands were noticing and sending more product. And it kind of just escalated from there.
Yeah. And then Robbie came on board and he's a phenomenal writer. I don't know if you've read some of the stuff on the site, but he's a tremendous asset. And we were working, doing kind of like splitting the time. We started our own business, Big Run Media, where we did a lot of marketing for races and different running events and stuff like that. And during the pandemic, when everything went to sideways, we ended up focusing more on Believe in the Run, doing some more stuff. And it's actually one of those, it seemed like a tragedy at the time that all the races were getting canceled and we were losing clients, but we focused on Believe in the Run. And as a matter of fact, that's when I feel like it just sort of lit fire. And a lot of people see us and they go, oh, you guys, last couple of years, you just came out of nowhere. I'm like, well, we've been doing this since 2009. So it's been a while.
And do you guys see, I mean, what's going on in the running space right now with the explosion of popularity, how many people are running and not just running, but to your point, talking about running, creating content about running, making running the kind of the basis of businesses just like yours. Like what do you think is driving it? Because I get this question all the time at New York Roadrunners. Why, you know, what's happening? Why are all of our races sold out? Why do we, you know, have 150,000 people trying to get into the TCS New York City Marathon with so few of them actually getting in, right? What do you think is driving this cultural phenomenon of running being so hot right now?
I mean, I have my ideas.
It's such a good question. I think partially the pandemic was responsible for a lot of new runners, and we're sort of seeing that snowball effect. It's just like, I think especially during the pandemic, like that was the one thing where we could all just walk out the door and go for a run still. And I think that was so empowering at the time. And a lot of people have just continued that. And I think, you know, you saw a friend who started running and then I was like, well, if they can do it, maybe I can do it. And I just think it was this like snowball effect of more people getting involved. And because we do have social media where you can share it, even if you don't have a best friend who runs, you can see someone online who's running and be inspired by them. So I think it's just been like, I think that's probably where we got this big growth spurt, and I'm hoping it continues. But I do think the pandemic was probably a big part of it.
Yeah, and to add on to what Meg's saying, because I agree, but you go online now and you see somebody that looks like you or is starting the journey that is like you. So there's more, like it's cooler now to run. Like before, it might have been your dad, you know, going, he's wearing, you know, generic running clothes and the generic blue, you know, running shoe. And it didn't look that exciting. You know, he's going to go for his run, mow his lawn, you know, have a beer that afternoon. That was, you know, kind of like the idea of recreational running, where now you look and there's people out there like Matt Choi, who are pushing that like hybrid athlete, working out, being, you know, a full rounded athlete that happens to love running. You look at somebody like Herms Runs, who's Alex Hermanson, who is, he's saying to people, hey, it's cool. Like you don't have to be in 3-inch shorts and 120 and restricting your diet and taking it so seriously that every race has to be a PR. It can be an event that we're all part of. So, you know, and Heller, there's a whole bunch of people out there that are making this content that now you can identify with. Tommy Runs, you know, these people that are bringing people into the sport that maybe didn't see a spot for them before.
I love that. It's so much about the community. And I think there's been a lot of chat recently about run crew culture, running culture, how they were parallel, they were intertwined, and now they're kind of going off separately. And I think that does have a lot to do with brand recognition. And I love what you both are saying of the, you can go on social media or wherever you digest your culture, let's say, and you can see somebody who looks like you, whoever you are, wherever you are. And from what you guys are delivering, you are individual. You're not like heavily, you do reviews of everything. And I love going onto online and reading what your reviews and like seeing them, because you're honest. And I think real runners are, we go through, I mean, the real runner fear is what happens if the shoe isn't good enough? And it's not the brand. It's not how it looks. You're just like, oh, what happens if it's not comfortable? What happens if it gives me blisters? That is what reading reviews and listening to you guys, that's genuine, because you've got the person who hated running, played soccer, to the person who will run millions of miles over very bad terrain. And you're going to deliver honest reviews of, you know, this glide stick sucks or this one is fantastic. And I just think, like, does it ever, when you're doing the reviews, have you ever been too swayed by brands, or do you find it really refreshing to be as free and open as you are?
I will say it's easier, like, naturally to talk about something that you feel strongly towards, whether that's negative or positive, like the words just flow. So we do have an editor, because sometimes, you know, we'll just go off on like, whether it's good or bad, we're just very honest. And so we do have an editor to make sure it's like all correct and everything like that. But we found that working with these brands, they appreciate the honesty, because a lot of times you're just hearing what you want to hear online and everything's great and wonderful. But when we are really honest, and we've tried so many shoes, that we can be really nitpicky and say, hey, this little minor thing here stood out to us and this isn't great. And the brands love it, because they can take it back to their team and actually use that as feedback to make the next model even better.
When I first started meeting brands, and to get to the part about being swayed by them, when I first started meeting brands, I was actually a little nervous, because, you know, I felt like, hey, I just trashed one of their shoes. And I was surprised, because we go to this thing called the running event where we get to interact with the brands. And I was timid the first time I went. And then I started talking to them. They're like, no, thank you for saying that, because we took it back to the team, because we've been arguing for a softer midsole and you guys have keep saying that. So we say it, they don't listen. But when we bring one of your reviews or something, it's an outsider saying, hey, this needs to be fixed. So a lot of times the teams are really happy with us. As far as being swayed by the brands, we try to keep somewhat of a curtain between our reviews and that. So we don't ever charge for reviews. We get the shoes obviously for free. They'll send them to us, but we don't take a fee for doing a review. And we express to the brands when we work with them on the other side, which is the side like what we're doing with the RBC Brooklyn Half, when we're working with New Balance. We talk to them beforehand when we work with these brands, and we say, hey, look, the reason why you're talking to us is because we've been honest about product, and we're a reliable source for people who want to get the best experience out of their running shoes or running gear. If we become commercials, then you're not going to want to work with us anyway, because we're going to lose our credibility and our audience. So most of the brands have an understanding with us that things aren't going to change. Now, it is crazy when we go out to a headquarters of a company or something like that for that day or so, you do get a little bit of a glow, because it's like, I'm sure you guys have visited some of these places. They're pretty fantastic. And these guys know their marketing. They're beautiful. The sport, you can feel the sport in the air, and you are, for a little while, you're a little drunk on love. So I usually wait a little while before, if I've got a shoe review for them, I'll wait a week or so before.
Sober up a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. You can walk away from those places being like, damn, if I ever lost my job, that's where I want to be.
I love it. I mean, the honesty is what makes it good, right? I mean, the bad reviews are what makes the good make the good reviews matter. So congrats to you guys for being able to carve out that space. And it's obviously really valuable to your listeners. So it's really awesome. Let's talk about shoes a little bit and like what you guys are seeing in terms of the evolution. You know, I've been running since high school and, you know, I've run in running shoes and some I've liked and some I haven't liked. I never really thought that they would have a huge impact on my performance until very recently. And even now I'm still catching up to, should I get one of these, you know, plates? Should I get this? And I work in the industry and I still don't really know what I should be doing for my own shoes to get the maximum performance. For someone like me, okay, and I'm a decent runner, you know, but I'm not winning any races anywhere anytime soon. How much does it matter? Like, should I really be making the hundreds and hundreds of dollars or sometimes more that people are spending on some of these shoes to get 5 minutes off my half marathon time?
If time's your only concern, then it would depend on your level of running. I don't feel like the cost to minutes is actually the best indicator of whether the shoe is worth the money. I look at it psychologically. Like if you get up in the morning and Rob, you know, every day you don't feel like running, but you go down, you just got a new pair. You're opening the box. It's fresh. You slide your foot in. Oh, that cushioning. It's brand new. It feels so good. You're going to be pumped up to go for your run. Now you get out the door and the foam doesn't feel that great. And you start running, not having the best running experience. That's where the reviews come in. We're trying to help you have the best experience. So when you talk about what you're trying to get out of the shoe, I want you to be motivated to run, be excited to get out there. Once you're out there, I want you to feel like you're gliding and feel like the shoes aren't part, like the best shoes are the ones that disappear on your feet and you don't feel. Now, once you get to that feeling and you're out there and you're doing your weekly mileage and getting things on the baseline done, then you get to race day and you get to throw on a super shoe that's plated, bouncy, and feels amazing. It's the whole experience is like going to a 4-course meal. It's like that's your starter. You go there and then next thing you know, you're just, you know, the dessert is the finish line and you're kicking it through and it's great. So
I mean, we're obviously big shoe nerds, so we could talk to you about shoes all day long, but I do feel like they're extremely important and worth the money because, like Thomas is saying, the experience, like psychologically, you want to feel good when you're out there running. I do feel like these new foams and plated shoes can assist you with running faster. And then also the last piece of it for me is like the recovery. Like you feel so much better afterwards when you have a shoe that fits well and has a good foam and a plate in it or not a plate, depending on what you prefer. But those aspects just make running not only feel better during, but also after. And then you're more likely to go back out the door the next day.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Megan. I'm there for the speed element is a wonderful bonus to the fact that you can recover and get back on the run because those, again, going back to that true runner wants to get out almost every day or as often as they can. And you don't want to be impeded by lower leg soreness, upper leg soreness, wherever you've run. So that's my big sell on these, the foams and the plates, as we call them. how many running shoes you've reviewed?
We were trying to figure that out the other day because we probably get over 100 pairs a year and whoa, you can do the math back to
2009.
Yeah. So that is the one thing that I feel we have an advantage over. There's only a couple people that I would say are anywhere close to us with the amount of shoes and the variants of shoes that we've tried and run in and reviewed. I would think, you know, you're probably talking about Jeff Dengate. You might be talking about, I think that Sam has been doing it for a while, like Metzler, who's from outside. Those are the people that I know that like I kind of feel somewhat like peers towards where I can talk about a shoe that was we went through all the trends. We went through minimal to max cushion, swung back and forth. So those are the people that I can, like, when they say something about a shoe, I listen.
Well, I could talk about shoes for the rest of this podcast, but we have a we have a race coming up this weekend, the RBC Brooklyn Half.
Yeah.
You are both participating and running, and let's talk about that. You ran last year, I believe, both of you.
I shouldn't have.
What happened?
I ran London, New York, Tokyo, and Boston, and then the half, and my foot was hurting, and I think
imagine why.
Yeah, I think I had a little bit of a stress fracture.
Oh,
so the beginnings of one. So it wasn't a good race for me.
I, on the other hand, loved it. It was tons of fun. I ran with a couple friends, and we actually ran it as more of a progression run. So it was like very, very fun. And yeah, the crowds there are great. The course was really fun. I remember the end is like almost downhill all the way to the finish line, which is always lovely.
Yeah, it didn't feel downhill.
One of you thought it was downhill.
Yeah. Thomas is going uphill.
The New York
somewhere.
Marathon feels uphill the whole way for me.
Yeah.
And what are you guys going to be doing? You've got not just the race, but some other things going on race weekend. Talk about where we're going to see you.
Yeah, so we are going to come up on Thursday, and we're going to host a panel. Thomas will be chatting with
you. Know one of the guys.
Yeah, who are you chatting with?
Ted from New York Roadrunner.
Oh, Ted Metellus, our race director. Absolutely.
Yes, the New York City Marathon. So I'm excited. I already talked to him. We did a little pre-interview thing, so it was a lot of fun. So I'm expecting him to be great. And then we've got Tyler from Endorphins Running and Andrea from Mill City. So we're basically all of us in our own way kind of work with the running community, and we all kind of work a little bit differently. And I think it'll just be an interesting conversation about the trends in the running community. You kind of were touching on it with like run crews and that kind of stuff. We were talking about enrollments and races. And so we're going to cover some of that stuff. It should be a fun conversation.
Yeah. And then after that, we're hosting a party with New Balance. This is all going to be at Smack Melon is the venue in Brooklyn. And then the following morning, we're hosting a shakeout run for the RBC Half. And anyone who wants to join us for about 3 miles on Friday morning.
And our shakeout runs have been insane. I've actually.
Yeah, they're super fun.
Yeah.
Always full to the brim.
Yes.
Okay. So talk to us as you are the kit king and queen here of advising everybody what to wear on race day. How would you best advise our listeners to get themselves prepared kit wise for the RBC Brooklyn Half?
Do we know the weather?
I think it's going to be high 50s, low 60s.
That's pretty good.
With a possible sprinkle.
Good temps. Maybe a little, maybe a little rain, maybe not. Yeah. We'll see.
Rain never hurts unless you're chafing.
Back to that glide.
Yes. There we go.
Exactly.
Full circle.
For me, it would be probably singlet, shorts, easy, 13.1 miles.
Yeah, I think it's always best to dress like knowing you're going to get warm, because I feel like especially when you first go out the door, you always want to be comfortable, but you always want to be a little cold when you first get out there, so that once you're out there racing heated up, then you're actually comfortable in your singlet and shorts. If it's raining, obviously we'd recommend maybe some tighter clothing to avoid that chafing. Don't do anything new on race day.
And a hat. I always like a hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we like
it. I like a hat too when it rains, because it's just keeps the drops out of your eyes, you know, just a little protection.
Yeah,
I know some people love sunglasses, but I'm like, do you have little windscreen wipers on them? Because every time I wear sunglasses in the rain, I'm just like, no, this is terrible.
Yeah, it doesn't work in the rain so much.
Does it? You look cool.
I'm hoping there's not that much rain, so when we get to Coney Island, we can enjoy the sunshine and the dogs and stuff. So.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I love that you said dress to get warm, because it's race day and most people are going to be going out and maybe challenging themselves an ounce more than they do on their normal run. And nothing pains me more than when I see people on race day totally overdressed in like puffer jackets. I'm like, oh my goodness, you probably could have got a few seconds off your time if you'd have just taken that little puffer off, please.
So you're not tempted to go help him out? You're not tempted to be like, hey, just hide that behind a tree?
Oh no, dude, seriously, the amount of times I have conversations in my head with people whilst I'm running next to them, I'm like, is it rude of me to just be like, can we have a chat? And then I just like, no, keep going. That sounds like such an incredible weekend. I'm sure all of your followers are going to have the best time with you, listening to you, running with you, and cheering for you, which is epic. I know I'll be at the finish line cheering away for sure.
Awesome.
This
oh, nice.
Weekend. Well, we say that. I'm tempted. I'm a little tempted to run it now.
Why not?
Oh, yeah, come run it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm done.
We'll get you a pair of these New Balance SC Elite V4s.
You know, is that what you guys are running in?
Yeah.
I all love
right.
them.
All right, you tested them out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And?
We love them. So we wore these for the New York City Marathon this past year. Love them. We had some all-white prototypes, which were very cool. But yeah, now we're going to wear the inline colorway, which is also pretty good looking. So
it's
pretty
gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know what? As somebody who has a wider foot and I spread my toes wide when I run because that's how I've been coached from my whole career, this width at the front of the V4 Elites is my perfect shoe width. I'm in love with them, New Balance. I can't take them off. I put the Rebels on for my slower, steadier runs and then a little bit of energy into the V4. Ugh. They're divine.
I like the Rebel.
That's a good combo right there. Yeah.
Chris Chavez from City Smag, you guys probably know him. He did his first sub-3-hour marathon and he was wearing
these shoes.
Yeah. I've spoken to a lot of people who are making PRs in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not the lightest one on the market, but it has a really nice feel. I think it's the most accessible one with like the sizing and the fit.
And like you were talking about, Bex, the wide forefoot is key.
I'm still stuck on the fact that Bex was coached to spread her toes apart while running. No one ever told me what to do with my toes when I ran. Clearly, this is what I've been missing my entire life was I just ran. Robbie, I didn't think about my toes at all.
I call this toe my feet. It's my thing in class.
You don't remember the Vibram five fingers, Rob?
Oh, yeah.
No.
I saw someone running in those yesterday.
Oh, the shoes that look like gloves where your toe so has a little spot. You know, I have seen those and it blows my mind. And actually the one guy I know who runs in those is a guy who also runs a lot barefoot. And that's a thing, right? I mean, are you guys seeing a lot of that? It's not good for the shoe business, but are you seeing a lot of that?
We saw it after Born to Run came out back in, I guess that was like 2010 or 11.
Yeah.
That's what kicked off the barefoot rage and Vibram five fingers. You had the Merrell trail gloves. You had like Vivo barefoot. All those shoes came out. And look, there's an argument to be made for strengthening your feet by being, you know, more natural. But we also didn't used to run 100-mile weeks on pavement, you know, or 60-mile weeks getting ready for a marathon on pavement. So I think the people that like it, that's fun for them and great, but for the rest of us.
We'll stick to our max cushion shoes.
I like the benefit of cushion.
Total opposite. I agree.
They're also 100%. Hideous. I'm sorry. I'm going to chime in here just on the visual look. Like nobody looks good in those. I've never seen someone who's been like, damn, that's a fly outfit he's got on. Look at those.
Yeah. I gotta agree. I've got it. The guy I saw yesterday was running with his double stroller in them. Mm. I'm like, buddy, honestly, the foams like, and the plates are gonna really help you with those two kids. Yeah. These shoes looked like he was sinking into the concrete with every step. Like, oh,
so I have to ask you guys, for those who don't know, who are maybe hearing your voices for the first time, you are married to each other. You did not just, meet and become colleagues. You became husband and wife. How is that for you working together this way as a married couple doing a podcast? You're still doing it, and I believe you're still married, so I guess it's working out okay.
It's great for me, maybe not for Megan so much.
No, it's kind of how we've always been. Like, we've always worked together, and that's always worked really well, and it almost feels like it'd be weird now not to be working together all the time just because that's our norm.
Yeah, I if you imagine that, like, I couldn't do half the stuff without Megan. So it really is a yin and yang situation where my brain doesn't work the way hers. I can't even say it.
I'm very analytical. She's very creative. It's very
And so
we're opposites.
It really is. I think part of the reason I fell in love with Megan and from the start was that I just felt like, oh, this is how easy life can be when you have somebody who kind of has that other side of what you're lacking. So,
aww, I love
yeah,
that.
It's been good.
Okay, so I really would love to talk more about you two running together, you two reviewing together, but we'll save that for another podcast. As you are professional running reviewers and have been doing this for a really long time, and this is not your first race with us this weekend, can you give our listeners a full-on review of the RBC Brooklyn Half?
A full review?
Yeah,
just a little, not too in depth, but like, let's see it from your perspective. This weekend's coming up. What are we going to go do?
Well, first of all, the main goal is always fun. So that's key. We're going to have a great time. I do remember last year, it starts out pretty compact in the beginning. So you definitely have to have some patience like you should in every race.
But it also kind of goes downhill. Like I think, yeah, it's easy to go out a little too fast at this one.
Yeah. So I think patience is super important in the beginning, whether you're stuck in a crowd or you're just holding back a little bit to leave some for the end. And then having fun the whole 13 miles.
Except not the whole 13, because we go into Prospect Park and there's a nice little hill you're going to want to save some energy for. What mile is that?
Literally,
that's in the first few miles.
But yeah.
Okay.
Before the first 5K mark.
You go into Prospect Park and you get a nice,
it's pretty steep.
It's a grinder and it's steep and it's long. I'm sure all the people who live in Brooklyn are very familiar with that hill. So once you get past that, I think it's kind of interesting. And then you get into that long stretch and it counts down by street. So you can kind of get an idea of where you are. Can you explain to me, Rob or Bex, how that works?
Well, they're alphabetical. So the farther you are from the ocean, the higher the letter. Yeah. So as you've seen those letters go down, you're getting closer and closer to the Coney Island boardwalk and the finish line.
Do you do the whole alphabet? I feel like last year I was a little dazed. But
it's like a Brooklyn thing, you know. In Manhattan, we do numbers, except in like the Lower East Side, we've got letters over there. But yeah, they do letters in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I started feeling the chafe. So make sure you do put on. But you know what the medical tents were great. They had Vaseline waiting there with the little sticks in it, and you could find some relief there. Overall, the support of the race was great. Like you had plenty of water. There's plenty of stops. You felt well taken care of. And there were plenty of medical tents for those people who are not wearing enough glides like I was.
And then I will always remember that you make that turn onto the boardwalk at the finish there. And there's just people screaming and cheering. And it's hard not to sprint to that finish line at the end there, which I think everyone should be doing anyway.
And we didn't do something right last year. We didn't figure out the public transportation back to Brooklyn. What are the options there when you finish the race? Because we stayed, we had a couple beverages.
You can take the subway all the way back.
Yeah, mass transit, the subway gets it done every time.
Or just stay in Coney Island, have a hot dog and a margarita and see where the day takes you.
That sounds,
all right, you heard that from
Bex.
Yeah. Margaritas and hot dogs.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Not until you hung out at our party a little bit and enjoyed that great party.
Yeah.
At Maimonides Park and listened to the live show, the Set the Pace show with Bex and Allie on the run. So you're going to hang out.
Allie.
You're going to do all the things and then you'll find your way back to wherever you are staying. And hey, so nice to have both of you on Set the Pace. Again, your podcast is called The Drop. It's the place to check out all the reviews and the great conversations you guys have. I'm all about Believe in the Run, your organization. And we're just psyched to have you guys coming back up to Brooklyn. Psyched to see you out there this weekend. So have a great race and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it is awesome. We love the New York Roadrunners and what you guys are doing for the community and excited to be part of it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Thomas Neuberger and Megan Murray from Believe in the Run and The Drop. For this week's member moment, we're excited to have Michael Albeck joining us. Michael is going to be running this year's RBC Brooklyn Half, and running is a family affair for the Albeck family. His wife is a rising New York Roadrunners program lead, and their son has run at the Millrose Games with the program, and they were both honored at the New York Roadrunners Youth Night, which took place this past week. Here's Meb.
Thanks, Rob and Bex. Michael, welcome to Set the Pace. To start off, we want to ask what we ask all our members. What inspires you to start running and what keeps you doing it?
Well, thanks for having me. What inspires, you know, running's kind of newer to me. I started during the pandemic, like a lot of people, and it was kind of a coincidence that it was around that time. But I've just really enjoyed setting goals and accomplishing those goals, and sometimes not accomplishing those goals. And it's just, I think it's been good for my health. I've lost a bunch of weight and it's been great for our family. It's something that we do as a family together as well. So I don't know. It's been a wonderful experience.
As we mentioned, you are a family of runners. What benefit have you seen with having a household of runners? You know, it's always good to talk or nutrition. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about all that stuff. I mean, hydration, nutrition. My son, he's 13 now. Like, he started running. He's in eighth grade. He started running in sixth grade. So it's been great taking him to races and cheering him on, cheering on his whole team. And you know, he's had a wonderful coach it's gotten a lot of people into running that probably wouldn't normally get into running. But yeah, it's like a constant discussion of like who's running with who this weekend or today and who's getting out for a run, what distance you're doing. But yeah, so it seems like it's a constant topic of conversation in the house these days.
And your wife is a rising New York Roadrunners program leader. And how does that, I mean, that's pretty cool to have your son run and her been involved with the New York Roadrunners Rising Stars.
Yeah. So like I said, my son, you know, he started running with his middle school when he started going in sixth grade. And as a coincidence, my wife also became a middle school teacher during that time. And at her school, the main running coach there asked if she wanted to help out as well. So now she has a team that is also going to the same events. So, you know, it's great if there's a during school event that she can actually go to that event and see our son run as well as helping out with her team as well.
Well, I mean, your wife and you have been part of the sport. What is that like to see the next generation take up the sport that you are involved in?
It's great. I mean, I think, you know, like these Rising Runners events, it's great to see like so many young kids getting excited to run and, you know, they start them with, you know, there's no time or anything. It's just exciting to get out there. You know, they get some sort of gift, like a hat or a running belt or something. So, you know, and then they get a medal when they finish. So I think it's exciting to see people being excited about a sport that's very accessible to many people. So, yeah, it's exciting to see.
How has that been interaction for you? You know, they always want to sprint, you know, no matter what the distance is, whether it's 200 meter or 400 meter or a mile. What is that like to, you know, to be able to interact with them?
Yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of the younger kids, since I'm not a coach myself, it's, you know, I deal with my son, or, you know, try to help with him. And sometimes it's almost the opposite. I feel like he still has gas in the tank when I feel like he should be pushing a little bit harder. I mean, yeah, I know he, you know, I think he, there's times when he could be pushing a little bit harder. So trying to get him to manage that, in some way, has been interesting.
Well, looking ahead, you are taking on the RBC Brooklyn Half. Any big goals for that race?
I don't think so. Last 6 months I was battling a little bit of injury, like a calf strain and one of my hips isn't great. I had a great year last year with some PRs that I was very excited about. And so I don't necessarily feel like I'm going to have a PR in this race, but I think, especially this weekend, I had a couple races. I ran a couple times this weekend, and one was a 5K race, and I felt pretty darn good. So I feel excited that my body feels pretty good. Like I said, I don't think I'll be setting a PR, but I look forward to doing this race because it's one that I haven't done before. I'm going to have a lot of friends that are out there as well. And finishing in Coney Island just sounds like such a cool place to finish and maybe have a drink if the weather's decent once we finish up.
You know, Michael, it's not about PRs all the time. It's all about getting to that finish line. And especially when you're coming from injury, you don't take things for granted. You're just going to be happy that you are running. So looking forward to seeing you on the starting line.
All right. Appreciate it.
Well, Michael, thanks for being with us.
All right. Thanks. Nice meeting you.
Likewise.
Thank you so much, Michael, for joining us and for being a member of New York Roadrunners. Now it's time for the Med Minutes.
This week's Med Minutes is to get familiarized on a new course. Whether you run a half marathon or full marathon, it is very important to know where you are. You know, for me, when I did the New York City Marathon, I could not run the whole course. So I just did the last 10 miles of the course just to be aware what it looks like, where the hills are, where the downhills are, and obviously the most important thing, the finish. So as you get ready for the Brooklyn Half Marathon, it is a good idea to run it or drive it, or at least be familiar in the last 2 miles, because you want to take advantage of what the course like, especially with Prospect Park or the downhills and when to finish. So for me, it is a good idea to be able to, even you can Google it or you can YouTube it from previous races. So as the more you know about the course, the more your preparation is going to be, and you're going to have a good execution on race day.
And that does it for another episode of Set the Pace. Thank you so much to Thomas Neuberger and Megan Murray of Believe in the Run, and to New York Roadrunners member Michael Albeck. Again, best of luck to everybody running this weekend at the RBC Brooklyn Half. And remember, if you like this episode, please go ahead, subscribe, rate, leave a comment for the show wherever you're listening. Those reviews really help us and helps others find the show as well. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the miles.